Turn with us in your Bibles this morning to Amos. It's a little bit too much, Ricky. Shut down just a little, not much. Amos, book of Amos. Chapter 7. Amos, chapter 7. Let's begin reading at verse 7 this morning. You found it in your Bible, say amen. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with the plumb line in his hand. The Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer or prophet, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah. There eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me, and I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Amen. Let's go back, if you will, to verse 8. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you from that simple verse this morning. I don't know how long I'll preach. Sometimes I don't feel like I preach long and wind up preaching a long time. Other times I think I'll preach for hours and wind up a few minutes. But I trust that the Lord will help us this morning. I'm going to talk to you about a straight religion. A straight religion. We are probably living in a generation now that does not like to hear too much straight religion. Preaching. But however, when you read the Bible, that's the only kind that the Bible has any reference to at all. Maybe this morning and tonight, between the two services, I'll probably get close to where you are. Well, you know, preaching that doesn't get where we are doesn't help us much. Probably won't get shouted down. Probably won't nobody run the aisles. But I do have some things on my heart this morning I trust that the Lord will help us with. A plumb line. And the Lord said unto Amos, what seest thou? And he said, a plumb line. Maybe some of you lady folks don't know a whole lot about a plumb line, but I'm sure most all the men here do. The masonry world that lays block and brick and stone, carpenters, and many other trades understand the term of what a plumb line is. I've been across the world and across this United States, and I've seen all kinds of buildings and structures, some with various designs, some great arches and cathedrals. Some of those buildings, and stone buildings especially, are 400, 500, 600 years old, and they stand as erect as they were when they were built. It's important in building to get things straight up and down. Amen. We look at building structures and we realize how important tools are. Tools are vitally important. It'd be difficult to lay block or brick or stone without a trowel. You just had your hands. And I wouldn't say it can't be done, but it would put your hands in a horrible shape and condition in just a little while. That cement or mortar on bare skin would just tear your hands all to pieces. So the trowel is vitally important. Carpenter work, a hammer is pretty important, I would say. Wouldn't you? A hammer is pretty important to a carpenter. So there are tools that are vitally important and have a purpose and reason for their existence. A plumb line, nowadays they're a little more exact, perhaps, than they used to be. We have now the steel ball with a point on the bottom end of it. It's called a plumb bob. And the string goes through the middle of that plumb bob, and you attach it up to the top, and it finds its gravitational pull downward until it reaches the floor or the ground, and that is a straight line, perpendicular line, from the top to the bottom. I remember some years ago, they used to say when, I don't know about out here, but when we built the church in Texas, it was very important that the lower part of that wall be perfectly perpendicular. I've heard men say, there's a hog in the wall. I don't know whether they use that term out here or not, but in Texas that meant there's a bulge in that wall down lower, and it's dangerous. You get things out of kilter too much, and the wall's not going to stand but so long, and it'll crumble. That's the reason for a plumb line, so you can get it straight and keep it straight up and down. And stone masons, brick masons, carpenters all use a tool. Of course, we got the laser beam now that makes things a lot quicker and easier. But if you drop that line over the side, that steel bob, amen, or they used to use lead before they got the better steel bobs, amen, but when it drops down, it's a straight perfect line. Now, our text represents God. Amen. The Bible said, and the Lord had a plumb line in his hand. It's not my plumb line. It's not your plumb line. That's God. The Bible said God had a plumb line in his hand. Amen. And God is standing on the wall, I think. If you allow me to say it like this morning, God was standing on the wall of character. Amen. And which the Israelites had built a wall of character, and he's testing it. He's determining whether this wall of character. Anybody understand what character is? Character, amen. I heard years ago David, the lawyer, what's his name? David Gibbs. David Gibbs said, character is what you do in the dark when nobody's looking. Amen. You build on your character, your life. Your life is known. Your name is known by your character. Amen. And the Lord is testing the character of these Israelites. And he is saying to Amos, what seest thou? And Amos said, I see a plumb line. Amen. The world, I really think what the world needs is a straight religion. Hello. Some people may not want it, but that's what we need, is a straight religion. Much of the so-called religion of the day bends this way, it bends that way, it bends whichever way is most convenient. Are y'all still here? With the to suit the times, to suit the way the people want to live, and the way they want to act. Amen. And it's slanted. Amen. It really is. We have a people that want a slanted religion. Amen. A low state of morals. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what I want to do is wrong. Don't tell me where I want to go is wrong. Come on here. Don't tell me how I talk is wrong. Amen. Just be good to me and let me do my own thing. We are all, I want to tell you, we are all building a wall of character. Amen. And I think sometime in our generation, it's a very imperfect character and needs some reconstruction. I've known some bricklayers in times past, whenever they come on the job and they say, where the man yesterday, amen, didn't get the line straight up and down, and they would tire that whole wall down, right down past where that bad place was in the wall, and start all over again. And I think sometimes that's what we have to do, amen, in building this wall of character. And if we don't, if we don't periodically check, you hear me? We don't periodically check how we are living and what we are doing and how we are building. Amen. That wall of character is going to get out of place. Amen. And it's not going to be a straight wall. Amen. Only God's measurements really count. Amen. Only God's measurement. Now God is standing on the wall. Amen. And God is getting ready to measure, amen, the character of Israel. And he's doing it with a plumb line, a straight line. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said, Amos, what seest thou? And he said, a plumb line. Now, it struck me when I read these verses this week. Amen. Amos did not say, I saw the Lord. He didn't say, I saw the wall. Amen. He said, I saw a plumb line. And it was obvious, amen, that the plumb line was in the hands of the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you, there's a lot of measurements in this world, but the only one that really counts is God's measurements. The whole tendency of our generation, amen, is to make us act by the standards of what other people do. If other people go yonder way, we go yonder way. If other people play cards, then it must be okay to play cards. I'm gonna get a little tight this morning, so y'all just might as well come on here. Amen. If other people does things that we have never been thought was proper and good for Christian to do, if somebody else does it and they say they're a Christian, then we have a tendency, are y'all listening to me? Amen. To just follow the pattern that somebody else has set. Amen. If somebody else dances, then, amen, we have a tendency to say, well, it must be okay. Amen. And we allow other people to set the standards. Amen. If we, help me here, we see other people read books of certain character that is not conducive to Christianity. Amen. Then we find our own selves reading books of similar nature. Now, I want to tell you, don't y'all fall out with me here. All books that are written is not to be read. Especially by Christians. Really, there's a lot of books that are written that just decent moral people ought not to read. But you see, we're living in a generation that we measure ourselves by ourselves. And Paul the Apostle warns us against that. Quit measuring yourself, or don't measure yourself by yourselves. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, amen, Brother Smith is doing it, so it must be okay. Amen. Brother Max got something in his home that we never were allowed to have in our home, so it must be all right. And so we find ourselves measuring ourselves by ourselves, and our standard of living is built upon what other people do. Amen. Come on here. I'm going to talk to you this morning. Amen. And we throw over the wall of our character a tangled plumb line. Amen. Of other people's lives. And we just about have reached the point in our American culture, amen, where we reject the infallible test which Amos saw, and that was God, amen, and His Word, and His plumb line. Come on here. Amen. There is a perpetual reference to the behavior of other people. Now, I want to tell you, I'm going to get a little close here today. There are some people that got things in their homes that 40 years ago they would never had in their home. Hello. Careful here, preacher. Amen. Really, really. Amen. We are referencing our behavior by what others do. Amen. And though it's as though it decided anything. What Marcia does. Come on here. What Marcia does, and I love that girl. She's been like a daughter to us, not just a daughter-in-law. What Marcia does ought not to have an effect on what Owen does. How Chip Roy acts should not have any effect on what how Jerry acts. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Where Freddie goes should not have an effect on where Ricky goes. Really, I'm talking to y'all this morning. But we have reached the point in our American society where that's exactly what we do. We see other people doing things, going places, other church people saying things and acting in ways that we were never allowed to do in growing up, amen, in our Christians' homes, amen, 30, 40 years ago, or perhaps even longer than that. And we come to the realization, well, amen, things have changed, times have changed, amen, people's opinions have changed, so things have changed, and we must change with the society. And we totally ignore the principles that's laid out in God's holy word. Amen. Your life and how you live and what you do. Amen. You are going to have to answer to God for the way you act and for the way you talk and for the way you go, where you go. Come on here. Amen. And I must give account unto God for what I do. Amen. What Marcia does, what Owen does. Amen. What Jerry Mills or Bragg does, amen, should not have an effect on how you live. You live your life in obedience to the Word of God. Amen. This book is the plumb line. Your life is not the plumb line. Your speech is not the plumb line. No, no, no. Amen. God's Word is the plumb line. And you are going to have to measure up to God's book. Amen. If you want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Are y'all still with me? I mentioned the other night that we have a generation that has no personal convictions of their own. They really don't. They have not prayed until God has touched their hearts. It would be easy. Come on here. And we have done so. And I will continue to do so. Amen. It would be easy for me as the pastor to set the standard. And say, these things we do and this we don't do. Come on here. And people by and large conform, amen, to the teachings of the church. And the standard that the church holds. It's getting cold in here. I felt a real chill come up here right then. Amen. I mean, it's a wave of chill. But you see, amen, when you stand before God, if it's not in your heart, you've wasted a lot of time and a lot of effort. Amen. And as soon as you change churches, or change preachers. Come on here. Amen. Amen. You will change the way you live. And your conduct and behavior will change. And your speech will change. Because you have not had any personal relationship with God until the Holy Ghost has rung in your heart a conviction that I will not do that because God spoke to my heart. Amen. And dealt with me to leave it alone. Come on here. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I have set the standard for how people ought to conduct themselves and dress when they come on the pulpit and the platform. Somebody said, I don't like that. I understand that. The world don't either. The devil don't either. I understand that. Amen. But I want to tell you, are y'all still with me? Amen. It's good to have that certain standard. Now, we can lower the standard. To where we are just like everybody else. In all the other churches. In all the other standards in other churches. To where there is no standard. And we can lower it and lower it and lower it. But what are we going to do when we stand before God? Amen. Amen. And He reads to us the way we lived our life. Amen. And we find ourselves falling short of the plumb line. Amen. If there's, excuse the vernacular, but you understand because I gave you the definition. When there's a hog in the wall down low. Amen. And that wall bulges. Amen. When that wall gets 40 feet high, amen, the pressure, are y'all still with me? Amen. From that wall is not going to stand and last but so long, and that whole thing is going to come crumbling down. Amen. Because the structure is not perpendicular. As long as that structure is perpendicular and straight, amen, you don't have a problem of it crumbling after a while. Our whole society, hear me tonight or this morning, our whole society in American culture is on the verge of crumbling and falling to the ground because our American society has got a hog in the wall. Amen. And there's little or no morals left in our society, amen, of what's right and what's wrong. We have come to the place where, amen, the Bible said in the book of Judges in the last chapter that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we have come to that place in our society right here in America. Amen. If it's right in our eyes, help me here. I don't want you to fall out with me here. Amen. But I've very often talked to people about things and standards and holiness living. Amen. And I've heard this phrase until I'm up to here with it. In my book, this and this and this. But our book doesn't count. It's God's book. Come on here. I said it's God's book. Woo! Glory to God. Are y'all still with me? Amen. The tendency of our time, the desire of our time, amen, is to lean with the world. Amen. And as though it decided anything by human fallibility. Amen. And it is a mistake as wide as the world is. Amen. To follow the fashions and the fads and the trends of the time because somebody else is doing it. Come on, come on, come on, come on here. Amen. That right now in our American culture, amen, probably more than this, but there's probably 10,000 different plumb lines. And you can just about, amen, take your pick as to how you want to live, amen, when you go to certain churches and listen to certain prayers. I mean, they got slanted. Oh, yo, God, help me here. Amen. But there is only one, amen, plumb line that is true and exact. Amen. And that is the plumb line of God's eternal book that is right. R-I-G-H-T. Right. Amen. There's no gray area in God's book. There are times that there are certain things, amen, that affects our generation that may not be spelled out in black and white and says, this is wrong. Or this is okay, but it lays out principles. Come on here. It lays out principles. Amen. Just not too long ago, amen, a preacher that I know and know well, amen, he is testifying somewhere in these United States of America in some fellowship meeting or whatever it was, and amen, and I know him well. And he said, if the Bible don't say it's wrong, it's okay. Amen. Then I said, amen, then you have to totally ignore the principles of righteousness. Because television is not mentioned in the Bible. Tobacco is not mentioned in the Bible. Hello? Is anybody here? I lost you. The internet is not mentioned in the Bible. The word pornography is not mentioned in the Bible. But there are principles. There are principles that this Bible lays out to us. Amen. And when you don't
live by those principles, amen, then we are taking the plumb line out of the mixture and we're just building the wall by sight. Whatever I think is right, whatever I think is close, amen, that's good enough. Praise God, help me here. Amen, amen, amen. God's word is right. Let every man be a liar. Let God be the truth. Amen. There is a mighty attempt being made to reconstruct or fix up the Ten Commandments to fit the generation which we are living in right now. Amen. Somebody says the way of Christianity, the way it's always been, is too rigid. Amen. Did you know that the Leaning Tower of Pisa, amen, leans 13 feet aslant from top to bottom. 13 feet. Help me here. Y'all stay with me. And people go from all over the world to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa and how they have braced it and how architectural designs, amen, have come into play to keep that tower from completely falling. They brace it this way and they brace it that way. And our architecture and contractors have been there through the years and they've had to redo some reconstruction because it was leaning too much a certain way and they had to rebrace it through the process of time. Amen. It leans 13 feet from the top to the bottom. Amen. Help me here. Don't y'all fall out with me. Amen. Our Earl building here, you don't notice it just by looking at it straight, but it is several inches out of plumb. Amen. When you look at the front of it, amen, it's racked just a little bit, several inches from the top to the bottom, but you don't notice it. Come on here. I'm going to talk to y'all this morning. And we are living in a generation right now that wants their religion to be the same way. Don't tell me that I've got to live straight. Don't tell me I've got to live this way. Amen. I think it's okay. Who says that a slant isn't okay? Who says that being out of plumb is wrong? You don't build structures like that just by eyesight. Amen. You can look at a brick wall or a block wall. Amen. And it looks pretty good just by the naked eye. But put the plumb line on it. That's the test to see whether or not you're perpendicular. Amen. And building it as it ought to be. And sometimes our lives, are y'all still with me? Because we are gauging the way we do and the way we live by other people, amen, we don't look like we're too far out of kilter or out of plumb until we put the exact plumb line on it, and then we can tell whether or not it... Now, what is the exact plumb line? God's book. Amen. Why, Brother Savage, why not take these 10 commandments of Sinai and set them just a little leaning? What was it hurt? What? Why? Is it effect? The higher you go, the further out from plumb it gets. Until you're 13 feet out of plumb. Doesn't look like it's too much until when you first start. Why is not an oblong drawing as good as a square? Help me here. Amen. Why is not a slant as good as a straight up and down? Amen. You have got to have a standard of some sort to build upon and to build by. Amen. Now, the question is it going to be man's measurements or God's measurement? Is it going to be man's standards or God's standards? Amen. I've been to Israel 10 times, and I'd like to go again if things will permit us to. Amen. I like to get over there. I really do. I enjoy going over there and Jewing. Y'all understand the term Jewing? Amen. They got a price on a certain thing. You never pay that price. Never. Never. They don't expect you to. They don't even want you to. Amen. One of the guides over there 1 year told us, said, if you pay the first price that they're asking, it's almost an insult to them. It's their way of life. You bargain. Come on here. You Jew them down. If they got a price of $100 on a display of the Ark of the Covenant and the angels looking over it, and they have many of them, and I've got one in my house. Amen. Their price on it was $100, American dollars. Amen. And they go in there. When you go in there, they expect you to jewel with them. So they put their price way up here. It's a way of life to them. And they want you to. They have fun doing it. Unless you're like Brother Mark Brock went with us 1 year, and he jewed and he jewed and he jewed and he jewed until he made one of them mad. I mean plumb mad. He said, "You're full of baloney. You baloney man. Get out of my shop." Amen. Brother Mark Brock, laughing, going down the street, said, "I believe I can go home and buy a new car now." I've learned how to do it. But my wife loves to do that too. And she's doing one of those guys over there. And, amen. And after a while, she got him down to where she wanted him. She bought it, whatever it was, and I don't remember what it was. Some little trinket or another. Amen. And that shop owner come over to me, and he said, "I'll give you 1,000 camels for your wife." I said, "After 30 days, you'd give me another 1,000 camels, take her back." But you see, that's become a way of life to them. It's common. Bargain. Jew them down. Amen. And that mentality is in the religious world in American society. Okay, preacher, your standard's too high. I can go down the road. Come on here. Come on here. I can go down the next block. I can go to certain church, and it's not near that rigid. Amen. Ah, come on, preacher. Come down. You are too rigid. You're in the past. You're living in the past. You're old fogish. You're old timey. Amen. And you need to come alive. You're in a different generation. Amen. Take down. Come apart. Amen. You'll gain more people. But I want to tell you, amen, we still got to contend with God's word. What are you going to do when you stand before God? Amen. Are you still listening to me? And we hear him say, as he opens the books and he judges us according to the works done in this body, amen, in this lifetime. And we hear him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Oh, but you don't understand, Lord. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. "We've cast out devils in your name. We've been in your presence. We went to your synagogues." Amen. We embraced your religion and hear him say, I know you not. How come God will say that? It's because he took the plumb line of his word and measured our behavior by it, and we fell short. Come on here, I'm going to preach to you tonight, today. Amen. We fell so short, amen, of coming to the straight and the narrow pathway of righteousness, amen, that he said, I don't even know you. But Lord, we've done many mighty works in your name. I don't know you.
Oh, God help us. The Bible demands first that we get right with God. Now, I can say to Ricky, Ricky, this and this and this, you ain't doing right. And you need to draw closer. And I might do that sometime, come think of it. And this and this and this, you need to... Are y'all still here? You're not as spiritual-minded. I'm just using him for an example now. I can use you if you'd rather for me to. You're not as spiritual-minded as you think you are right here in this area. You need to straighten this out. And that's... good. And there may be times I'll do that. And I've done that to some of y'all through the years. But you see, if now, he only does that because I said so. If he only measures up and conforms because the pastor said this is the way it is, then he has missed the mark entirely. What needs to be done, and I'm amazed at the number of people that think that they're spiritual and they're so carnal, they almost stink. What he or anybody else needs to do is get on their knees alone with God and pray until the Holy Ghost touches their heart. Somebody say amen. Oh, God help me this morning. Amen. In this church some years ago, I did not preach on jewelry, but there was two different occasions where people stood up and said, Brother Savage, I was praying the other day at home. I really prayed and got a hold of God until the Spirit of the Lord, amen, shook me. Amen. And I shook and quivered under the presence of the Holy Ghost. And they said the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart that I need to pull my rings off. I hadn't said nothing to them about it. But the Holy Ghost did. And we're missing that in our present generation. And we are building walls of character in our Pentecostal churches that is so twisted, and our plumb line is so messed up, and our wall of character so slanted, amen, that the American culture is about to crumble and fall, amen, because we are so far out of being plumb with God's holy word. Our moral society has become an immoral society, and our Christian influence, amen, has just become, are y'all still with me? Just become a way of life until there's no spiritual emphasis in seeking God for divine direction in the Holy Ghost touching our hearts. Amen. I'm reminded, and I've told you this before, and it comes to mind right now, so I'm just gonna share this with you again. Amen. The man that was in the mafia some years ago now. And I didn't talk to him personally. I only talked to the man that did talk to him. Amen. And he was in the mafia. He was the hit man. He killed lots of people because it was his job. And did anybody here say amen? If I closed my eyes, I think some of you went home. Amen. But he came to the church. He came to the church and he prayed at the altar. Amen. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And it kept coming. And after a while, the pastor of that church went to him and said, Now you do understand that to be a Christian, you can't be a hitman in the mafia. You mean that I can't be a hitman in the mafia if I'm a Christian? No, you can't. Y'all know what a hitman is? Everybody knows what a hitman is in the mafia. Raise your hand. He's a guy that kills people. Amen. Just because he's told to. He said, but you don't understand, it don't bother me to kill people. Really, it don't bother me to kill people. He said, I pray over every one of them before I pull the trigger. That if I'm going to be a Christian and come to church and be a Christian, I have to give up being a hitman? Yes? You can't do that no more. He said, he shrugged his shoulder and said, well, I guess I'll give up church. That's the mentality of this generation. Now, I know that's an extreme case. That is a far extreme case. But that's the same mentality of this generation right here in America, right now among our own church people. If I have to quit doing this, amen, I'll go to another church. No prayer, no conviction, no concept of what's right and wrong, no idea whether it's pleasing with God or not pleasing with God. Amen, they are doing it over there. Come on here. And we have totally ignored the plumb line that God's laid out in His Word. It just depends upon how you see it. It depends upon what my opinion is. It depends upon, amen, what Doug does. If Doug, come on here, if Doug does it, it's okay for me to do it. Amen. Help me here. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But I want to tell you, that mentality will get us lost when we come to judgment day. You don't lean to your own understanding. You don't lean, amen, in building your wall of character. Amen. You don't lean, amen, just by eyesight and think that it's okay. After a while, it gets so out of proportion, amen, till it will not stand the test. Amen. Flight 007 years ago. Amen. Some of you may be old enough to remember Flight 007 that left the United States going to Japan. Amen. And it started veering off course when it left the American soil. Started veering off course. Just a fraction. Just a little bit. Come on. I'm going to preach to you this morning. Just a little bit. No, but enough to get word about it. Amen. But it's off course just a little bit. But they were flying thousands of miles before that trip ended. Y'all still with me? Thousands of miles. But it started off just a little bit off course. Not enough to worry about. Not enough to say too much about. Not enough for the pilot and the navigator to get too worried about. Is off course just a little bit. Before it was over, they had veered plumb over into communist territory. And was shot down, and everybody on board died. Amen. And not one living soul, come on here, just because they veered off course a little bit. Now, what you do in moderation, I want you to get this. What you do in moderation, your children is going to do in excess. Brother Roy's here to say, if you can't remember it, write that down. What you do, how you live in moderation, your children's going to do in excess. They're going to go further. Help me, Lord. Shall I not? What time is it? Put my glasses on so I can see. My, I didn't know it was that late. But I want to tell you this. Woo! Help me here. How you dress. How you dress. Your children are going to go that much further. I got an article, and I may use some of the information tonight. I want you to be here. Praise God. On modesty in dress. We have a problem in our American culture of wanting to expose the human body, which God and His Word is against. Huh? Come on here. Ladies, I'm going to get a little... I'm going to get a little tight here. You would think it was an abomination and a horrible thing, and you'd scream your head off if a man came into your bedroom while you were dressing and just had your underclothes on. But the same woman will come out on the street with less than what you were in the bedroom. And it's okay. How did we get to that point? How did we get to that mentality? It little by little. Off course, just a hair. I want to get a little plainer this morning. Because there's a trend that is starting that we're going to have to correct, or else we're going to be so far off course, we're going to miss the goal of heaven. Necklines. There are some of the clothing that our Pentecostal people are wearing that is borderline. I mean, real close borderline. Nigh unto being indecent. Why? It's hard, Brother Simon. Don't you understand it? That's what the woman says in bikinis. Hit my preacher! I guarantee you I'm cooler than she is. I didn't mean that in a derogative sense. We have a mentality that we want to push the margin to the line, to the very verge of being indecent. Come on here. We wear clothing that is so borderline that the next generation is going to be over the borderline. You see, what's the difference?
Brother Sage.
Now, Brother Sage, you hear me. I'm going to talk to y'all today. I mean, you probably want to have an election here pretty quick. But you can get one right now. Praise God. You want to push. What is the difference in a half an inch? Come on here. Or an inch more. Okay.
then it becomes another half inch, and then another half inch, until when you go to the altar to pray, a preacher does not feel comfortable praying with you at the altar because your underclothes are visible. Somebody said, man, Brother Savage, you are way out. No, I'm not. I'm trying to correct a trend before it gets so far out we can't get it back. And it spells disaster. Help me here. I have never seen a generation. I've been in this world over the most vulgar place I've ever traveled to in my whole life is Greece. Athens, Greece is the most vulgar place I've ever traveled. Owen's been there years ago when he was in the Navy. I've traveled, I don't know how many countries. Greece, Athens, Greece, and the whole country of Greece is probably the most vulgar, filthy, can I say unchristian, immoral place that I've ever been to. I mean, you get just about have to walk down the street blindfold. I would not even dare to tell you, especially in a mixed congregation, how vile and wicked that place is. But I want to tell you, America's heading there fast, real fast. And it's not just the American secular world. It is becoming more and more acceptable in the religious world if we don't stop the trend. The plumb line. But Brother Savage, I'm reminded years ago when this actually happened, and now if y'all don't want any straight preaching, you probably don't want to come back tonight. So if you don't come back tonight, I know I got your number. Years ago, there was a movie producer. I've forgotten his name. It's been way back. And his wife, he married this woman, and she was, how can I say? She wasn't exactly a chaste woman in that sense. And she came out in a place where he was making a movie. This man had some decency about him. He wasn't a Christian by any means, but he had some decency about him. And this, his wife came out in a mini skirt. And out in on the producer out there where they were shooting this movie. And he got irate and said, "You get back in that house and you change clothes. You got no business out here like that. Come on, y'all stay with me." She said, "Okay." So she went back home and she got a long dress on. Long dress. And she came out and she paraded in front of me. "Is this okay?" "Yeah, that's fine." She went back, and every 3 days she had her seamstress to take up 1/2 inch. Every 3 days, 1/2 inch. And she, every time she had it taken up, she came and paraded in front of him and said, "Is this okay?" "Yeah, it's okay." Never noticed. It's getting shorter and shorter and shorter until she had the hemline back where it was when it was a mini, mini, mini skirt. It's such a gradual process that it did not pay much attention to it. And that's where our holiness movement is drifting today, and if we don't make some mid-course corrections and get it back in line with God's plumb line, It's not my line. It's God's line. Amen. Our church here has a constitution and bylaws. In the bylaws, there are things that church members are not permitted to do.
Brother Savage, that's legislation. That's legalism.
But every one of those points is based on a scriptural reference. Go read the book. Come on here. Go read the book. Go read the Bible. The Bible sets the standard. The Bible is the plumb line. Amen. And God said to Amos, Amos, what seest thou? A plumb line. Amen. A plumb line. You mean you didn't see God? I saw a plumb line. Amen. And God's got the plumb line in His hand. And you're not going to be judged by what I say. Come on here. Or what your opinion is. You're going to be judged by what God's book says. And I don't know how many, and it's been a lot in the last little while, that have said, I don't see it that way. Argue with God when you get on judgment day. You don't have to argue with me. Argue with God. Amen. And there's some things that I have said in preaching in the last little while that I've felt the spirit of some say, well, I don't care what he says. I'm going to come to church dressed like I want to dress. That is a spirit of rebellion. I don't care what the Bible says. Hey. Now, we'll quit. Had a dream last night. I dreamed two people got saved. Two people. In my dream, I knew. And as soon as I had the dream, I woke up. God stirs my heart. When I woke up from the dream, I had a vision, Sister Bessie. I don't very often have. Very seldom. But I felt the presence of the Holy Ghost in that bedroom. In this vision, I saw little tiny snakes and serpents and lizards and all kinds of creatures of that nature. Small ones. And in my vision, I said, Lord, what does this mean? Are y'all still with me? Have I got your attention? In my vision, I said, Lord, what does this mean? And the Lord said, serpents has come in people's hearts and creatures that is unpleasing to my name. And those little serpents grow into big serpents. And we have reached, I'm going to preach to you here. I'm telling you what's on my heart. We have reached a point in our church world where this one don't like what's going on in his life. And he don't like what's going on in her life. And she don't like what he's doing. And he don't like what, are y'all listening to me? Where somebody else is going. And we get to where we are talking about each other and there are serpents and snakes that is devouring us and eating us alive. And we are become so critical of other people and what other people are doing and how they're acting and living. We cannot see our own need spiritually with God. We see the mote in our brother's eye, but we cannot see the beam that is in our own eye. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost spoke to me, amen, about 3:30 this morning. Amen. We are being eat alive. The Bible said in the New Testament, if we devour one another, if we devour, eat and devour one another, we will be consumed of ourselves. Now, I want to tell you something. Amen. There are a lot of things that I know that's going on in people's lives that they need to do better on. And I'm the pastor. But I've learned through the process of years that you don't just jump on somebody and jump in the middle of something, amen, just because that you see they need it. Come on here. Amen. If you're not directed by the Holy Ghost and the leadership of the Spirit of God, you'll do more damage than what you will good. And it'll have the opposite effect. But when the Holy Ghost, amen, gives the direction and the leadership of the Spirit, amen, it'll work and people will do better. Now, I want to tell you, amen, I will not allow you to goad me, you understand that term, or make me or push me into taking action against him or her or them, amen, because you see something in them or there, amen, that you don't think they ought to be doing or going or saying. Amen. That is none of your business. Wow! Hallelujah. Number one, you need to keep yourself straight. Number one, look in the mirror and see what you need to do better on and how you need to straighten your life out a little bit better. Oh, Brother Seven, there's nothing that I need to do any better on. Amen. You're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. I want to tell you, I've learned through the years. I'm going to preach to y'all right now. Woo! I got 30 more minutes till 12 o'clock. Amen. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit. I learned a long time ago, amen, you don't jump on things, amen, because somebody else don't like what somebody else is doing or what somebody else has got in their house. Amen. Help me here. Sweep in your own closet. And as the Lord directs me and leads me as the pastor, I'll be with it, either preaching, amen, as God directs, or one-on-one. And if I'm a one-on-one, you'll never know it because I'm not going to tell you. Come on here. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. We got serpents, little tiny wiggle tails, amen, working its way in our hearts, and we have developed hard feelings against them and our hard feelings against that, amen, and we don't like them because of the way, y'all listen to me, what we thought they said or what somebody else said they said, amen, and we develop a mentality, and every time we see them, that comes right up before us. Amen, like a screen in front of us, and all we can see is what, amen, so-and-so said, so-and-so said, amen, until we have broken our fellowship with each other, amen, and the glory of God will depart from us, amen, because there is no unity in the Spirit, amen. I want to tell you, I'm preaching to y'all this morning, amen, every one of us, every one of us have got things that you can do better on. Amen. Every one of us has got areas that you need some correction in. Every one of us has got, amen, times that you need to pray better and pray more. Every one of you, come on, I'm preaching to y'all this morning. Amen. Everyone, there's the plumb line. Every one of you need to measure up to the plumb line in some area of your life, and you are only responsible to God for yourself. I remember Brother Sister Foster. Every once in a while in church service, Brother Foster would break out singing, "I'll face nobody's record but my own." You remember him breaking out, just singing, amen, a cappella, no music, amen. He just, he learned, and he'd just break out singing, "I face nobody's record but my own." And I wish we could get that understanding. We got to face God for ourselves, and I'll deal with the problems. Come on here. I'll deal with things in people's lives. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. I'll deal with things in people's homes. Amen. But I want to tell you, if we don't stop this bickering, and don't stop this backbiting, and stop this gossiping, and stop this tale-bearing, amen, we'll split our church all to pieces, and the work of God will go down in defeat, and we'll simmer down to just a handful of people, amen, and hardly enough to have a prayer meeting with. Am I preaching to you right? Amen. Because we have, amen, allowed these little serpents, if you will, little baby serpents that we feel like that we're justified in dealing with. Amen. But it's not your concern. Come on here. Amen. What I deal with Ricky about, woo! Are y'all still with me? In his home, amen, and how his home is going is none of anybody else. I'm the pastor. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching to you this morning? We got little serpents. And the Holy Ghost said, it's devouring us. Because those little serpents are going to become big snakes. I don't know much about the reptile world. I really don't. I have been told that a baby rattler or a baby moccasin or a baby poisonous snake has got venom poison when he bites you. And you can set up a wall between you and Bill Paragory because of what you think he's doing or what somebody's told you he's going, when it's really not your business. And when you see Bill, you shake hands with him. Bill's my buddy. We've been friends a long time. When you shake hands with him, you will see that. When you look in his eyes, that will come up as a screen between you and him. And you say, I wonder if he really is. I wonder if he knows I know. And those little serpents, we are building a slanted wall that's about to fall. Huh? Hello. Do you think for 1 minute that I'm going to go worldly? Not on your life. But I will tolerate some things for a while. Until the Holy Ghost deals with my heart of what to deal with and how to do it until somebody's rescued and saved. When Brother Jerry Mills, and I'm going to close, Marcia, you can come, because we're going to come pray. I feel like we need to pray this morning. When Jerry Mills first came to this church and prayed at this altar, it was back here then. The altar platform wasn't as big. Prayed at the altar right about here. He had long hair, hippie. Hello. Drug addict. Pusher, probably. Best I understand. Pretty wicked man. Young fella. Wasn't married, single. He prayed. Didn't pray long. Matter of fact, just a couple of minutes or so. Hey, green shirt. He did come in back there. Preach on. He prayed just a few minutes. Got up. Never shed a tear, as I remember. got up and grinned real big. Said, I got it. I wondered. I really did. I really almost doubted whether he got it or not. Come on, are y'all still with me? He went and got a haircut. Cut off his long hair. At least up to the middle of his ears. Brother, I forget who it was that invited him to come play the guitar. Found out he was a guitar player, played the guitar. Didn't know anything about God. Didn't know anything about church. Didn't know anything about standards. Didn't know anything about holiness. Y'all still here now? Say amen. I can deal with somebody that don't know. But it's these old hard heads that's been in church all of their life that out of rebellion they want to show you they'll do what they want to do. He played in the service and somebody came to me after service and said, Brother Savage, you're going to have to deal with him. You're going to have to straighten him out. I said, you leave him alone. That's my responsibility. You are not going to tell me how to handle the pastor's problem. I lost some of you right there. I said, just hush, leave him alone, I'll take care of him. Went on a few days. Amen. Maybe a week or two. I don't remember. Time gets away anymore. Amen. I felt led of the Lord to go see him, talk to him. He's in the shop. He's doing mechanical work then. Brother Jerry probably remembered. Amen. In the shop down there. And drove up and got out and went in the shop. And he was working on some vehicle. Don't remember what it was or who it was or whose it was or whatever. I said, we talked a little bit, just friendly, chatting, nothing serious. And a little bit I felt an urge and I said, Brother Jerry, come talk to you. He said, all right. He'd been reading the Bible. I mean, back then, I don't guess he still is. He's reading the Bible. I mean, every day, every few minutes, he'd read the Bible some. I said, I need to talk to you about your hair. He kind of grinned. I said, you need a haircut. He said, you know, I was wondering when you gonna come talk to me about that. He said, I got a haircut. I said, I understand you did. But it's still too long for a man. He said, do you know why I wear my hair like I do? I said, no. He said, you ever seen my ears? I said, no, I've never seen your ears. They've been covered up. He said, my ears are pointed like Spock. You got to be old to know who Spock was. He pulled back the hair off his ears, and sure enough, I don't think they're as pointed now, Jerry, as they used to be. But, he looked like a Martian or something. I mean, they were pointed. He said, that's the reason I wear my hair like that, because my ears are pointed. I said, but Brother Jerry, that's the way God made you. God made you more distinct than most all human race. You have an identity. And God thought so much of you, he made you different. He looked at me and grinned. He said, he did, didn't he? Went and got a haircut. But you see, amen. If I'd have went when somebody got after me to go, I probably would have destroyed him. There's a plumb line. And the Holy Ghost leads us and guides us. And I've seen people, I'm pastorally talking to y'all. Man, there ain't no shouting going on this morning. I've seen church people try to take things in their own hand and do the pastor's job and go straight.